Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Okay, now let's talk with Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Northwestern Medicine is sponsoring this conversation. They are relentless in their pursuit of better health care. I'm reading a story here that says not only is it at a crisis point, but it's getting worse. Study predicts that 260 million in the U.S. will be overweight or obese by 2050. Well, there's only 330 million of us now, and in the next 16 years, let's see, in the next 26 years, 260, half plus of us will be obese or overweight. What do you make of this study, Doc?
Yeah, you know, this is one of these studies that does a statistical analysis using multiple variables. I think there were over 100 that they used in this study, and they're attempting to predict using these variables what the obesity problem might look like in the future. These studies are only helpful, John, as a way to identify problems that we already know about. I mean, I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that we have an obesity problem, not only in the United States, but around the world. I mean, this is why we spend so much time talking about Ozempic and its cousins. Exactly how we're going to deal with this at a population level, you know, meeting the whole population, no one's come up with a really good idea yet. One would think that this would be somewhat of a simple problem to solve, but it obviously is not.
Why do you say that? Why would one think this is a simple problem to solve?
Well, for most people, not everybody, but for most people who are overweight, if we restrict the calories, if we improve the mix of calories that we are consuming, so we're not getting things like simple sugars from sugar beverages, and we increase our physical activity, for most people that works to help lose weight. And that's really logical, right, John? I mean, it seems to be common sense. But what we know from the last couple of decades in the United States, that advice, for whatever reason, is not working for so many people. And we need to figure this out really at a population level to help people better deal with this issue, because obesity it's not good for our long-term health.
Yeah, I'm a little mystified by it too. Anecdotally, I read my local paper and there's always a picture of a groundbreaking or some ceremony where there's local folks and officials. And every time you see that little horseshoe of them all posing for the group picture, they're all overweight, or a high percentage of them are. These are just essentially random snapshots of the community. And it depresses me, to be honest with you, because they're not all bad people. They're not all dumb people. They're not all lazy people. I don't know if it's the kinds of food we're consuming, what food manufacturers are doing. Ultimately, it's our responsibility as individuals, but it's not so easy to solve, and the evidence is in my paper every day.
It's true, and all we have to do is walk down every street, any street, and, you know, we see this. We all know. You know, and we're not talking about judgment or anything like that. This is simply a public health problem. And I think we need new thinking on this problem. Is it, and Jen, you said it right. Is it something about the food supply that we have? You know, one thing for sure is we have a lot of food. And thankfully, we do have a lot of food.
You know, and a lot of
that
it's
many
crap.
Years ago.
And a lot of it is
garbage.
And
a lot of it's crap. No, that's true. But, you know, if you look at human history, we're living through truly the first time where there's adequate calories for an entire population. And I'm really right now talking about the United States. Obviously, so many of the calories are not the most nutritious. But we need to sort this out. How can we help people to learn to eat better? How can we improve the food supply? But at the same time, and I believe this is very important, we don't want to trample on people's individual rights to make decisions for themselves.
What do you think about just finding a way to make these weight loss drugs more accessible? You know, somewhere between where we are now and free. And I'll take my chances with the side effects. And maybe down the road we'll learn to wean ourselves off of them because it's an appetite suppressant. So maybe once we're on that treadmill, no pun intended, we'll stay on it even without the help of the drugs. I like the availability of these things, Doctor.
Yeah, you know, certainly availability for the right people in the right way only makes sense. But, you know, John, when you think about what you just described, it really is backwards, isn't it? It's like, all right, as long as we know we have drugs like Ozempic and its cousin, it's okay if people get obese because then they're going to take some medication, which is biologically active and does all kinds of things to the human body. And we're still not 100% sure about long-term safety with the medication. And what we really need to do is figure out better how to help people from not getting obese from the get-go. So we don't have to deal with the
problem. What do you think the answer to that is, Doctor? This is a different conversation than we have time for, but if you could just turn one screw and get us to all start doing something at any level, government, education, what would we start to do here?
Yeah, I think it really has to be a top-to-bottom evaluation of the food supply we have in the United States, Jen. What is it that we're eating? Why is it we're eating what it is that we're eating? And then make recommendations that would be better for people to mm-hmm. avoid obesity and keep them healthier. But obviously, this is not simple. People have been thinking about this a lot, but I think the time's come. We have to be better at this. We have to be more effective. The experts that we have who understand food have got to be able to come up with recommendations that people will actually find attractive. And none of this is simple.
Okay. Well, let me ask you one other question. And again, typically I ask you, hey, what's the latest date on the vaccine? But I just wanted to, since you brought that up, and I brought it up too, I wonder what you would make then of a new head of the Health and Human Services Department. If RFK Jr. were somehow manipulating the policy of the United States, how would that trickle down at a local level, at a patient-doctor level? You're listening to WGN. John Williams here with Dr. Copen. We're talking about America's weight and ways to lose weight. 708 said, Ozempic gave me the strength to turn off the food voices. I've been off it for 4 months and I'm maintaining. 815 texted in, we have tried and tried and tried to educate people about how to not be obese, make the drug free or affordable for all. I lost 100 pounds and I've kept it off for a year now with Ozempic. Those are the plus sides of this conversation, aren't they, Doctor?
Yeah, and I know for many people, these medications have been lifesavers, literally. And people who've been struggling with their weight for decades have been able to lose significant amount of body weight by using these medications. So, I mean, there's no question that they're effective for lots of folks, and that's something to feel really good about. On the other hand, it's not realistic to treat 100 million people with this medication. It's just not. It's too expensive. We're going to run into significant side effects. It's not the right way to go. So, John, I really do think we have to we need to reconsider this entire subject. You know, you brought up President-elect Trump's nomination of RFK Jr. And without getting directly into politics, I'll just come out and say it. I think he's unfit to be Secretary of HHS. His past is very, very difficult. Statements he's made. It's one thing to want to be certain that our vaccines are safe. He's made improper false statements about vaccines that I believe has already hurt people. We have enough vaccine hesitancy as it is. I will say, though, that somebody like RFK Jr., who has very different ideas about stuff like drug safety, drug
reliance,
drug testing and approval, our food supply.
Yep.
I would like to see somebody else in that role who will bring new thinking, would shake up the bureaucracy a bit. I just don't believe he's the right one for that job.
You know, I was reading some of his attitudes, and I thought, if nothing else, this guy wants you to live a more natural, healthy life so that you're less reliant. That's why I inserted that word. So therefore, we would be less reliant on drugs, medications, even vaccinations, although let's not even go down that road. But I wonder if he were in a position of authority and were able to execute that authority, would I feel that at a patient-doctor level? Would you therefore be able to or not be able to do something? Just as a for instance, he said he's not for keeping anybody from getting vaccinated, but he clearly has the idea that it should be much more optional than it is. But I wonder if I would feel the effect of somebody like that who is shaking things up.
Well, I hope that the things that we know that are evidence-based and proven by decades of experience, vaccination, pediatric vaccination being a great example of that. We do not want polio to come back. We do not want measles to come back. And RFK Jr. has made improper statements in the past about measles vaccine. We can't have that. We just can't have that. We know it works. When I was a kid, there was still a lot of measles around. There is not anymore because people are vaccinating their kids. Those rates are down now because of vaccine hesitancy, which we've been talking a lot about, John. I don't think we need a national healthcare leader that will fan the flames of vaccine hesitancy.
All right, hold on one second, doctor. I got 60 seconds left, and I want to squeeze my friend Steve Bertrand in here.
Doctor, when I go to Europe, the food is beautiful, and I don't mean at the restaurants. I mean like at the convenience stores or the gas stations. It's just a completely different quality, and we like to fight against regulations here, but are the regulations more strict there, or why is it that the food just seems so much healthier there?
Yeah, there are some different food regulations in different parts of Europe, Steve. But I think what you really see, and it depends on where you are in Europe, is the cultural expectations for food.
Right.
It's just different. It's just different. The expectations for produce, the Southern Europeans who eat the so-called Mediterranean diet, which we know is really wonderful. That's deeply embedded in their culture. And it's the cultural stuff that we have to think through, I believe, very deeply, and try to understand how we can change some of our cultural expectations when it comes to how we eat.
That's Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern, over at Lake Forest. Okay, big topics today, Doctor. Thank you for your thoughts.
And I'm sure we'll be continuing with this conversation, John.
That's Dr. Copen.